Slicer Tangents is brought to you by Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the did we just hit a million order stage and everywhere in between. Sari and Hank, can you name anything that works so well? It's practically magic.
Dragonflies.
Toilets.
What? Yeah, okay. Well, here's one off the top of my head. How about selling with Shopify? Ooh. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and it helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Ooh. Not to mention, it's got award-winning customer support there to help you on your path to success. And those are just a few reasons to love Shopify. But Hank, what does your company, DFTBA, like so much about Shopify?
We've been using Shopify, I think, for over 10 years now, and it really has scaled extremely effectively with us. It is both a huge amount of information at your fingertips, but also in a way that makes it fairly easy to make the decisions you need to make, learn the things you need to learn, and do the things you need to do. It's all in there. And it's one of the great joys of my life is going into the Shopify backend and being like, look at all these people who wanted a thing that I had.
What a rich life you lead indeed.
And if you want to experience great joys like that too, I've got a magic trick for you. Poof. You can now try Shopify for a month for only $1. That's right. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tangents, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/tangents now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in, and experience the little joys of looking at the back end of a store. shopify.com/tangents, all lowercase. Abracadabra.
Hello and welcome to SciShow Tangents. It's the lightly competitive science knowledge showcased. I'm your host, Hank Green, and joining me this week, as always, is Forbes 30 Under 30 education luminary, Sari Riley.
Hello.
And just a guy I met one time, Sam Schultz.
I'm going to have to win an award. That's starting to make me feel bad. I want the Pulitzer.
You've been doing great on the podcast.
Well, that doesn't mean barely next to nothing, does it?
I mean, you're beating the Forbes 30 Under 30 Education Luminary, so right. I'm washed up.
Yeah, Sarah's very impressive, and you are beating her.
Okay,
take that
okay.
To the bank.
All right, I like this now.
Speaking of the bank, I don't know. Not actually.
How much money do you have in your bank account?
Oh, God. Actually, I wanted to ask you guys if you feel old yet.
Yeah. I'm starting to just fall apart.
You feel physically old, like
you're in little ways. Some days my back just hurts. Not often, but sometimes, you know, it just hurts. And I don't really know why exactly.
That started for me when I was in high school. Full unexplainable neck pain.
Yeah, sometimes when I play video games too long now, the old clicker finger hurts from my gaming.
You can't even play like you used to.
When I can't even play video games too long, my hand starts falling asleep. Like something about the grip is not ergonomic enough anymore for me where I could just go for hours. Yeah. And now I need to stretch. I need to like have my adaptive grip.
You know what else is kind of sick too? Sometimes I'm like, I don't really feel like playing video games. What is wrong with me?
Oh, yeah. That happened to me a long time ago.
Oh, gross.
I'm like, why would I do that? I could just lie down.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes it used to be that I'd like fall asleep on my arm and it would like, and I wake up with a numb hand. Now sometimes I just wake up with a numb hand.
Oh,
like, it's just like nothing happened. I was just laying on my back.
Because your blood, instead of being like, I'm going to pump, it's going to say, I'm going to take a nap too.
But then there's the part, I don't know, you probably have this experience too, where you're like, oh my gosh, the thing that happened when I was a child was a very long time ago. Or somebody texts you on Twitter, or you like reach out to them on Twitter because you're like, I need a comment about inflation for a video that I'm using. And you work at a think tank. And I was curious what your thoughts would be. And they're like, oh my gosh, I watched you when I was a teenager.
Oh no. Horrible. That's horrible.
Now I'm a director at the Roosevelt Institute.
Yeah. When young people are more successful than you, that really, really sucks.
Yeah.
And that happens to me a lot. One thing that's going around Twitter lately is how old all the cast of Cheers is, which goes around every now and then. And it's like, Frasier was like 27. It's like, what have I done? I'm no Frasier. And I'm almost 10 years older than that. And he was also balding at the time.
So I do.
Drink water. Like, I don't think people before us drank water very much. So
that must have been the problem.
They're getting shriveled.
It wasn't all the cigarettes and just being in the elements. They didn't have houses back then. So
yeah, in the 80s. In the late 80s. Hadn't invented a house yet.
That's why they had to be at the bar all the time.
They only had that bar to go to.
They had the bar.
Do you feel old?
Yes, Sam. Okay. Yes, obviously. I asked you because you two are much younger than me.
Okay, so Sari, do you feel old?
I do. I think I've always felt a little old because adults would tell me that I was an old soul. That's what you tell to little like neurodivergent kids who are a little sad and work too hard. You're like, oh, you're such an old soul. Yeah. But I do feel old. I think in part because my day job is at the place where I went to college. And I manage the team of admissions bloggers that I was once on. So I have the Sari equivalent of, I don't have Hank Green levels of fame, but I have like this one environment specific fame where people know who I am. They're like, oh yeah, when I was growing up and dreamed of going to MIT, I read your blogs and now I'm here. I'm like,
oh, that's nice.
You were born after 2000. and you're a full grown adult who's off to college and doing your life. Yeah. So I do feel quite old. But I know that I'm young also because someone talked about something that happened in 1990 and they were like, some of you in this room, like most of you in this room were around for that. And I was like,
thanks,
not
Sari.
Me.
That's great. You really helped me out.
I
know that I'm young too because I know that Hank is older than me.
Yeah.
Is what I just.
At the age where I do think. Yeah, I'm not really that young, and nobody would really say it. You're young. I'm past it.
I mean, old people sometimes will be like, you're so young. And I'm like, yeah, I get that you think that, very old person.
Well, here, I'll say it. You're both so young.
You don't
you're
have
podcasting. Only young people dare to do we're this a, medium.
How old is he? He's of podcasting age.
Yeah, that doesn't mean young anymore, Sari. That means you're about 40.
Every week we get together here on SciShow Tangents to try to delight each other with science facts and also try to stay on topic while failing at staying on topic. Our panelists are playing for glory. And for these fake points called Hank Bucks that I award willy-nilly and sometimes forget exist. Now, as always, we're going to introduce this week's topic with a traditional science poem. This week is from me. Five turtles on a row, on a log, on the pond. Five turtle friends with a long-lasting bond. Balanced in the row, on the log, on the pond, in the warm of the air, in the shade of a frond. One turtle on the pond, swimming up to the log. Sniffing at the friends like a sniff-sniffy dog. No room, said the turtles on the log on the pond, and the sniff-sniffy turtle took his time to respond. But the log looks so good, and I'd like to rest, so the sniff-sniffy turtle put the log to the test. One turtle foot, and the log swayed slightly. The other five turtles held on tightly. Another foot up, and the log swayed more. Stop, that's enough, you silly old boar! A log turtle staggered and scooched to the fore, but that only made the log sway more. A turtle slipped off and dropped in the water, and the log started rolling like a teeter-totter. Another dropped off as the log rolled back, and the turtle in the water stuck his claw in a crack. The balance perturbed by that one little blip had oscillated into a full log flip, and the turtle in the water had his claw in the crack, and the log flipped him up onto the log's back. One turtle by himself on a log in the pond in the warm of the air. In the shade of a frond.
Wow. Is that a meme video?
It is a meme video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a viral
video of a frog just completely ruining a bunch of frogs' day.
Turtle, Hank. Turtle. Come on.
Oh, sorry. I kept, when I was writing that poem, I kept putting in frog because it rhymed with log.
They are kind of, yeah, that's right. And they are kind of similar creatures in a few ways. Mm-hmm. That was great. That is another one that should be a kid's book. I think that would be
this is the life of a dad, is that all the poems you read are about little blue trucks.
So it just gets right in there, huh?
Yeah. SciShow Tangents is brought to you by Rocket Money, a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. As you know, Tangents is a show about science. With that in mind, I've gone out into the field to do some personal research for this ad. Join me as I observe in his natural habitat, the money dummy, a lowly creature who lacks the natural ability to know how many subscription services he's even subscribed to.
Ah, another beautiful day being a money dummy without a care in the world. I'm one of the 75% of people who have subscription services that I've forgotten about, just sucking away at my bank account like a tick on a deer. But that's okay with me. Who needs extra money? Now to just have a drink from this pond. Gulp, gulp.
Rawr!
Oh, no.
Dear Lord, there was a money smarty in that pond, laying in wait for the hapless money dummy. Why, she's devoured him whole.
Foolish money dummy. I, the money smarty, use that extra money to become a deadly predator and get the drop on you. But here's my dark secret. I used to be a money dummy, too. Evolution happened real fast, I guess. That is, until I used Rocket Money to find and cancel my unwanted subscriptions and cancel the ones I didn't want. Then I used Rocket Money to monitor my spending and build budgets until I became the impressive specimen you see today. And I'm not alone. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. And if you had gotten Rocket Money, money dummy, you'd be a money smarty too, instead of my dinner.
That's really interesting. Too bad I didn't know.
And so the beauty and horror of nature laid bare. And what did we learn? How about to stop wasting your money on things you don't use? Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/tangents. That's rocketmoney.com/tangents. rocketmoney.com/TANGENTS. So the topic for the day is not logs, but turtles. I like turtles.
I like another turtles.
Meme. Sari, what's a turtle?
I love an animal definition because we do know them better than many other words. Turns out a lot of scientists do a lot of work to define animals at least a little bit precisely. So turtles are a kind of reptile. So reptiles include the turtles, the crocodilians, so like crocodiles, alligators, lizards and snakes, and then the tuatara. Those are like the four main groups of reptiles. And turtles are in the order Testudines.
Testudines. Test means shell is a thing that I know.
Yes. Testudines is based on the Latin word testudo, which means tortoise. Testa means like the shell of a shellfish. Or the Latin testum meant like an earthen pot. So basically a shell.
Oh,
little shell that we pie make. Guy.
It does not relate to testicles, though, as far as I can tell.
I was just Googling that.
I was like,
that's what the tapping was that you heard just then. In what way is my testicle like a tortoise?
I gave up a little bit because I was like, I can't. All of the etymology of turtle words seems very confusing. So like, there's like testa, shell. Testicle is a different kind of test that I don't know where. I think it comes from like a testimony kind of test.
Oh.
That is where...
I swear on my nut.
Yeah. Which is weird because I guess, like, if you put a testicle just shape-wise, like, next to a turtle shell, they're both kind of like... As opposed to, like, a testimony. Like, that seems like a very abstract thing.
As opposed
thing.
To anything very else abstract. In the whole world, I suppose.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. But turtles are the things that are evolved from the turtle ancestor. That's usually how animal groups work.
Yes, I thought the turtle ancestor was like a known thing that you were saying. I don't know it. Yeah, there's a guy. His ribs fused together. So instead of our ribs, which are kind of separate, his ribs fused together and then became an outside rib instead. So turtle shells are just a big hollow chamber. And their shoulder blades are actually inside their ribs, which is very weird migration of bones. And the shells... I think there are lots of theories as to why it evolved. We're not entirely sure, but they did get pushed in that direction. There are two main groups of turtles. There are the hidden-necked turtles and the side-necked turtles, which kind of describe how they tuck their heads into their shells. So the side neck turtles, I think, are often snake neck, longer neck, and they kind of like fold it in towards their leg.
They like grab their head and put it in. They're like, get in here, head.
Yeah. They squish it in. And the hidden neck turtles are, it's like you turtle your neck in, like you squish it in.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one I usually see.
Yeah.
I usually see those turtles, the squished neck turtles.
Those are the cartoon turtles, I feel like. And those are like freshwater turtles, snapping turtles, sea turtles, even the turtles that can't squish their heads into their neck, like they've lost that ability because their shells are too flat or don't have space. I think they're generally categorized in that hidden necked turtles. And that's all about all. I don't know. They're ectotherms, so they change their heat based on their environment. And a lot of different words, so like tortoise or terrapins or sea turtles, those are all turtles, technically. They're all turtles.
So people are like, what's the difference between a turtle and a tortoise? And you're like, it's like a square and a rectangle.
Yeah, that's a lot of the articles you get when you search turtle science. Just a lot of people saying same thing. That's one of the biggest turtle facts there is.
I have a question for Sam.
Yeah.
Is Bowser a turtle?
He's kind of a dragon-y turtle, but he's a turtle. He's the king of the Koopas, and the Koopas are turtles.
I think just because a turtle breathes fire doesn't make him not a turtle.
I think that's right. I think you're right. He has a shell. Is there anything, like, there's nothing that has a shell that is a lizard and isn't a turtle, right?
I think, yes, you're correct. Because otherwise, the other shells are, like, other sea creatures, like crabs.
Is there a turtle that you'd be like, that's a turtle? Because it doesn't really have a shell, more a lizard style.
I mean, a little bit. Snapping turtles kind of like, you're like, whoa, that looks like an alligator.
Yeah, sure. And that's a Bowser, basically looks like a snapping turtle. Great question, Sari, by the way.
So like Bowser is then related to all of the Koopas.
Yeah, he's their dad.
Can Bowser take off his shell? Because other Koopas, you knock them out of their shells.
And they have their little,
undershirt on.
Yeah. I just don't think anybody's ever kicked his ass hard enough that he came out of a shell, but I bet he could do it.
I'm looking at pictures of Bowser without a shell right now, and I feel like I shouldn't be.
I think you Googled Bowser no shell sexy instead of Bowser no shell.
I didn't, but now I want to.
Yeah, he does look
Looks like it shouldn't be happening. It's an upsetting, it's very sad.
Oh, interesting. Here's a distinction I've never really thought of, that you can see Bowser's crotch when he has his shell on. It is not covered by his shell. His shell is just an individual thing on his back.
Yeah, it's something that he appears to be wearing.
It doesn't seem to go over his whole body. So he does just look really weird without it. It looks like a backpack. It's not real. He's not a turtle. He's faking it.
He's not a turtle. He's faking it. New SciShow Tangents lore just dropped.
Bowser's faking it. Koopas are the real turtles.
We got to watch the Super Mario Brothers movie and figure out what the heck Bowser is.
I want to do that one next. I like that idea.
We need a new milestone.
Yeah, that's right.
The word turtle, I guess we talked about testudinies, but the word turtle, the first time it appeared in the English language, in Old English, was in relation to turtle dove. Which is very cute. And that was usually related to like a term of endearment. So a turtle was like, I don't know, a turtle dove. I shall be, the quote from 1440 is, I shall be turtle in your absence. Or from 1865 is, I am a solitary turtle, dove, not reptile, just now, my wife being at Rugby. So it was like a turtle was a was a cutie thing.
A little cute lonely guy or something?
I am a solitary turtle.
I'm pining for my wife. I'm a turtle.
I'm just a sad little turtle. Was this in reference to a turtle? A reptile turtle?
It was in reference to a turtle dove.
And then we were like, you know what looks like, you know what those turtles look like with the shells and the beaks and the scales? Doves.
It was, I think, a mishearing is what they think of. So the word tortoise was originally what people called turtles, the animal, like the reptile. Right. And then in French, it was called tortue, I think. Yeah. Kind of like Spanish tortuga. And English, allegedly, English sailors misheard the French word for turtle. And then were like, oh, we have a word called turtle. So you call that turtle? And then it shifted in English.
This says turtle was like an onomatopoeia of a dove cooing.
Oh, it could be. The original turtle dove. Like, they were like... That's my best impression of a turtle dove.
That was pretty good.
Oh, thank you. That actually means a lot to me. Right. Now that we know what a turtle is, it's time for the quiz portion of our show. Would you guys like to play a game?
Would you like to play a game? Yeah. I would love to play a game.
We might sometimes think of turtles as slow, but they are also enduring, like in the fossils that they've left behind. Still, uncovering and interpreting their remains can be a strange endeavor. The following are three stories of the lessons we've learned from turtle fossils. Well, two of them are lies, and only one of them is true. Can you tell me which one it is?
Do our best.
Yeah,
you're going to try. Story number one. Green sea turtles are known to migrate to a particular seagrass meadow along the coast of Egypt, and a group of scientists were visiting their preferred spot to witness the turtles in action when they found something surprising along the coast. Fossilized green sea turtle poop that was about 1,000 years old, showing that these turtles have been making this particular migration for at least a millennia. But it might not be that one. It might be story number two. One of the challenges of uncovering fossils is being able to figure out exactly what conditions they were buried in, like their original burial depth. Luckily, there are turtle shells to help. Paleontologists digging up a site in Colorado realized that they could look at how flat turtle shells are at the site to estimate how deep they were originally buried, creating what they called the turtle compaction index in the process. Or it might be story number three. In the 1960s, a fisherman in Maine found a fossil of a turtle rib cage that eventually wound up in the archives of a local museum until 5 years ago, when a botanist visiting the museum accidentally stumbled upon the shell and realized it was not a turtle. After all, it was the rare fossil of an extinct plant from the Miocene epoch. So, it might be a pile of fossilized poop revealing a 2,000-year-old feasting site for green turtles, or paleontologists developing a measurement based on the flattening of fossilized turtle shells to figure out how old burial sites are, or a surprise discovery reveals that a turtle shell fossil is actually a rare fossilized plant.
I don't think poop's gonna last in the ocean long enough to get fossilized. I think a guy's gonna eat that poop.
You think somebody's gonna eat that poop?
Somebody's definitely eating the poop. In the ocean. No doubt about it to me.
That's true. I guess you hear a lot of like watery fossil graves are in lakes. Sand settles on them.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But there are some seaside, maybe. I don't know. Inlets? Inlet fossil cliffs?
I don't know. Poop that close to water? It's dissolving.
Maybe they pooped somewhere else and then it got there later.
Tumbled down.
I suppose that sea turtles do go out of the water every now and then, don't they?
It must be. You're right. It must be tricky to find sea animal poop fossils.
Those guys love eating poop.
Marine snow.
The flattened turtle shells, I'm just trying to picture it. Are they like, they get squished down over time?
Yeah. So like the layers build up on top of it. And then it gets more and more pressure, I guess, gets put on the turtle shells.
Hmm.
And then like all the inside of the turtle have rotted away. And so it gets easy to get squished.
Squish like a little.
There's a guess.
I just can't imagine a rock getting thinner. Because rocks, I can't squish a rock and make it thinner. And so my brain can't comprehend it. But it feels like the logic makes sense.
Yeah.
Over time. Layers build up.
Can it get squished while it's not a rock? I don't really know how fossils work and like how much of the structure in a fossil is the structure of the thing it was fossilized out of. But would it retain maybe some of the...
I don't know. I feel like we don't hear about like a femur getting flatter. Yeah. But
right.
Also shells have that air inside them.
Yeah. And with dinosaurs, they're always like this. Like they're all squished, you know? So they're squished. They're not in their 3D style.
And then a turtle shell that turned out to be a plant, classic mistake.
Classic mistake.
I look at a fossil with my dumb brain. I don't know what anything is. People are like, oh, see that fish? See that trilobite? Some of the clearer shapes, I guess. Like if it is a full fish skeleton, sure. But everything else?
Yeah. The person telling you that went to college to learn how to...
Yeah, I remember I saw recently like there was like fossilized cloaca of a dinosaur. They're like it's the soft tissue of the cloaca, and I was like looking at it, and I was like, if you say so, like that is like like slightly darker rock to me.
That's quite a big statement to make too. The dinosaur's beehole is that
the cloaca? They're certain it was a big news.
They're
story,
sure
that
it was
dinosaur beehole.
I kind of remember that. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm ready to make my decision, Sari. How about you?
Oh, do you know it?
I'm gonna let you go first.
This sounds like you know it. Okay, I'm gonna say the flattening of the shells. I was so skeptical. But I'm gonna second guess myself and say that.
I don't know it, but I know what it's not. And I'm also gonna say the flattening of the shells.
Interesting. Two guesses for the flattening of the shells. Mm-hmm. Well, to understand what conditions are like when a fossil is buried, scientists need to be able to figure out the original burial depth of a site. There are some techniques that can help you estimate that depth. Like you got the color of fossilized pollen, apparently, is one way they do it. But they can only work under specific conditions. And so you're always looking for new ways to do it. Scientists studying fossils in Coral Bluffs, Colorado, which had an abundance of turtle fossils. There was also an abundance of research on how turtle shells crack under pressure. So the team started comparing the compaction of shells from the site as well as others, and then taking their knowledge of the kind of pressure required to crack a turtle shell and combining that with information about the sediments at the site, they were able to estimate how deep the turtle shells were when they cracked a particular way. And at this site, they found that the turtles have been buried under a waterway and then eventually under silt that was around 1700 to 1800 feet deep, which is wild.
That's a lot.
Okay. Yeah. And then something wears away and exposes that? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. I get it now.
But Sarah, you're right. It is a classic story of confused fossilization because around 50 years ago, a Colombian priest named Padre Gustavo Huertes collected two fossils and identified them as a plant. But more recently, a scientist was skeptical. The shape wasn't quite right. And the paleontologist identified the bones as coming from the upper shell of a turtle. A marine turtle, and a particularly young turtle that was less than a year old. Fossils of young turtles can be really hard to find because their shells are made of a thin bone that doesn't usually endure.
Easy
so
to squash
those
guys.
That was a weird
guys.
One to try and pick out. So you were right. It is a very common story, but it went the other way.
Yeah, baby turtle looks like a leaf.
Yeah.
Baby thin, turtle looks like leaf. Squished. Is there any truth to the fossilized ocean poop?
Yes, green sea turtles have been making that same migration for around 3,000 years, but scientists did not use fossilized poop, or coprolites is what they're called, to figure that out. They actually looked at Bronze and Iron Age sites that were filled with bones from shells of turtles that had been eaten by people.
Oh,
so that's okay. How they figured that out, because people had also been at those sites for 3,000-ish years.
Have you ever eaten turtle before?
I don't think I have eaten a turtle.
Couple Southern guys, we probably had the opportunity to eat a turtle, had we so wished.
Yeah, I kind of picture it like you like hit it on the back and it just opens up with steam.
Yeah, maybe there's soup inside of it or something.
All right, it's a tie ball game. We're going to take a quick break and then be back for the Fact Off. Welcome back, everybody. Get ready for the Fact Off. Our panelists have all brought science facts, both of them, to present to me in an attempt to blow my mind. And after they have presented their facts, I will judge them and award Hank Bucks to the person who is going to be the winner. You guys are tied right now. But to decide who goes first, here's a trivia question. Last year, researchers announced that they had developed a robot inspired by turtle hatchlings. Their initial goal was to build a robot that could travel through sand, so they looked at animals known to dig like worms. But eventually, they settled on turtle hatchlings because they have large front fins, which the researchers thought would help to steer the robot and also to help the robot respond to obstacles. The researchers measured the speed of the turtle bot when it was 5 inches deep in the sand. Based on their measurement, how far could the robot travel in an hour? I'll take it in feet.
Feet. Okay. Feet in an hour. Not miles. These baby Not turtles. They didn't create a turbo turtle robot here. The problem is baby turtles are really slow and they're good at it. They're like pretty
optimized.
They've evolved to crawl across sand.
You have turtle experience, right, Sari?
I did. In high school, that was like one of the school trips that I got to go on. I went to Costa Rica and we did a bunch of like conservation biology for a week. So we dug like frog ponds and we gathered, like, while turtles were laying eggs, we like laid in the sand and then collected them so that poachers wouldn't get them.
Oh, wow.
It was very cool and good.
Laid in the sand.
I do think I saw some baby turtles because then they hatch. They let them hatch and then like let them out to sea. They look very cute, but they do go pretty fast. Like you put them on the beach and then they like point toward the sea and scuttle start along. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't help them. That's what's the big Florida tip. They don't need your help. Do not help the baby turtles. That will not be helpful for them. But I do like, part of me wants to be like, man, there's all those bad guys out there. I just want to chuck them as far out as I can get them.
Just pick them up and throw them out there.
I could throw a baby turtle so far.
Yeah. Tiny, tiny guys.
I'm going to say 100.
100 feet.
Not like far, but not too far, like slower than a baby turtle.
An hour.
Yeah, like almost as far as I could throw a baby turtle.
Yeah.
I really have no idea. So I will say 150.
The answer is 13.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was not.
Make better robots, guys. Come on.
Apparently, that is similar, though, to how fast worms and clams can travel through sand. Not so there's something that feels advantageous, like we did a good job. Want to give the scientists some support.
This robot goes as fast as a worm.
People who thought they could go so much faster than that.
That's not a cool thing to say.
To be fair, it's faster than I could move if I was buried 5 inches deep in the sand.
Sure. If you bury me like one human like distance down, if you bury me a full 6 feet down in the sand, that's where I stay forever.
Yeah, that's called my grave.
Yeah. All right. That means that Sari gets to go first.
So I feel like one of the weird turtle facts that gets brought up a lot and is very appropriate to tangents is this idea of cloacal respiration. Basically, that a couple species of freshwater turtles in Australia can breathe through their butts.
Yeah. Now, if that's news to you, that's because you're normal. But for us, this is like everyday information that turtles suck water into their butts and get oxygen that way.
Yes. And I'll get into a little bit of how. And specifically, there are little skin structures in their cloaca where oxygen from the water can diffuse into their blood vessels and carbon dioxide can diffuse out. And they pump water into their cloacal cavities, do this gas exchange, and then pump it back out. And importantly, not all turtles can do this, not even all aquatic turtles. So that's a misconception. A lot of people say, like, all turtles can breathe through their butts. It's like a couple in Australia.
Did you know that people can kind of breathe through our butts?
I feel like I have heard that before.
If you put, like, oxygenated water or just...
Yeah, they, like, put, like, hyperoxygenated fluid into people's rectums sometimes, where they've, like, done research on this to... Like in situations where it's hard to ventilate people's lungs, they're like, what if we did it a different way?
Is good at absorbing.
So they have tested that out. That's how David Blaine stays underwater so long.
His butt. Yeah. Well, is it really? Maybe.
No. Okay.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know for sure. He's doing something.
So David Blaine or other freshwater turtles can also do other underwater breathing through their skin, like frogs, or through what are called buccopharyngeal structures, which is a fancy way to say the cells in their back of their mouth, and not quite throat area. But the core of my fact off is not butt breathing. I thought it would be a good intro. I'm here to talk about its opposite, lesser known cousin, mouth pissing. The Chinese soft-shelled turtle doesn't just use its buccopharyngeal region to do gas exchange. It also excretes urea, which is the waste product that gets eliminated in pee.
Like its kidneys are connected to its mouth?
No, separate. It does kidneys, but the kidneys do a bad job and its mouth does a good job.
It's got another way of doing it.
It's got a better way of doing it for it specifically.
Well, I don't know if I'll say better.
Well, I'll tell you how it's better. Because researchers wanted to figure out why it was better. And in an October 2012 paper, they bought some turtles from a market. I couldn't find the number of specimens. They just, got some turtles. And tested them in two conditions. First, they submerged the whole turtles in water for 6 days and then measured the chemical content of that water. So like how much do they pee, presumably out of their cloacas. And then they kept the turtles restrained on land for 6 days with a puddle to dunk their heads into, because these turtles, when they walk around on land, dunk their heads pretty regularly. And these turtles dunked their heads for around 20 to 100 minutes at a go. So not a short time. This isn't an in and out. And they were definitely like sucking in and spitting out water while their heads were underwater. So the researchers measured that like puddle water too. And what they found is that the mouth urea excretion was around 15 to 49 times greater than the cloacal urea excretion, while ammonia amounts were about the same. So like some components of urine were greater, that urea, but ammonia about the same. And with some additional experiments, they found that there's a special kind of protein transporter in those buccopharyngeal structures that allows them to eliminate waste this way instead of just through their kidneys. And for the why, they suggest that peeing out urea means the turtles have to drink a lot of water, which is harder to do where these turtles live, because Chinese soft-shelled turtles live in combination salt and fresh water. They live in brackish marshes and swamps. And so drinking that kind of water means that you have to have all these other like glands going on to balance your salts. So instead of drinking water and then having to process that and pee it out, they just sort of like rinse the urea out of their mouths and form pee that way instead of, or in addition to.
How did they get the urea out of their blood? What's happening?
I think that's those protein transporters, like in the back of their throat, that tissue that does oxygen transport with the blood also does salt transport, like urea transport into their saliva.
It's like collecting and they are washing it out of their mouths. Is that what it is?
It's just sort of like always... It's like saliva, almost. Right. It's just sort of always entering into their mouths, and then they're always washing it out.
And they're sticking their head in puddles and washing it out. And I think that's why, because you don't stick your head in puddles to pee.
It's true. I just, like, I wonder why, like kidneys are complex. It's weird to create basically a whole new kidney in your face. But I guess I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Where is a turtle's butt? Is it just up in there?
I think a cloaca is usually like under the tail, where you'd think it would be. Sometimes maybe on the tail somewhere.
I was just looking at Bowser's. It's right where you'd expect it to be.
Okay.
Bowser, no shell. Where is butt?
Dear Google, Bowser butthole? Question mark. All right. Man, mouth pissing is great, Sari. That's a pretty. Standard winning fact.
You kind of fleshed it out a little bit with the butt breathing thing that didn't really have that much to do with anything, did it? That was a smokescreen.
It had the same structure. Some breathe through their butt, some breathe through their throats, some pee out of their mouth.
Some piss through their butt, some piss through their throats.
All right, you ready for me to go now?
Yeah, hit me, Sam.
One of the most beautiful and harrowing events in the natural world is sea turtle nesting. Every summer, sea turtles pull themselves out of the water onto the beaches they were born on, crawl up the sand past the high tide water level, and use their flippers to dig a hole in which they lay their eggs. The turtles then cover their eggs in the sand and waddle back out to sea. Something about that sand that's important to keep in mind is that it is good at retaining heat. Remember that. It makes it a great place for incubating eggs. And something interesting about the development of baby sea turtles is that the temperature of the sand they're buried in influences their sex. So consistently colder sand tends to make more males, and consistently warmer sand tends to make more females. And sand that is a little bit of both makes a little bit of both. So sea turtles have this elegant birthing cycle deeply tied to the delicate ecosystem that they occupy. But you know what isn't really conducive to elegant birthing cycles and delicate ecosystems? Us human beings, baby.
Yeah.
We hate that stuff.
Changing a bunch.
Yeah. So obviously global climate change causes unusual temperatures at sea turtle nesting grounds, which is already thought to be messing up the ratio of male to female turtles. But there's another invisible, insidious byproduct of human civilization, one that I've talked about a couple times before, lurking on the beaches of the world and fucking up sea turtles' lives. Can you guess what it is?
No. On beaches?
What? It's microplastics. Great job.
Oh, no. No, not that.
In 2018, a study was published in which researchers sampled the sand at 17 sea turtle nesting sites around the Mediterranean and found something not very good. Lots of microplastics. So 5,300 particles per cubic meter of sand. That's how many microplastics was in it, to be precise. The second worst amount of microplastic contamination ever recorded on a beach. And the first worst at the time was a beach in South China. And unlike that beach in China, some of these beaches were really far away from people and manufacturing centers. So like not places where people were just throwing their water bottles and stuff like that. So the first conclusion is that you can't really escape microplastics because they're in the ocean and they're spreading all over the place. Their second conclusion was that all that microplastic can't be good for sea turtles, but that was kind of the end of the paper. They were like, we don't really know how. Just can't be good.
It doesn't really seem like this would be good for turtles.
Yeah, but we don't have time to think about that right now. But in 2023, another study picked it up from there and concluded that all that microplastic is indeed not good for sea turtles. In this study, researchers made sand microplastic mixes containing from 5% to 30% plastic and monitored the temperature. So as I said, sand holds heat well, but some types of plastic hold heat even better. So all the microplastic containing sand was warmer than the control sand, and the 30% microplastic mix was 0.58 Celsius warmer. The microplastic samples also tended not to lose heat overnight, so they just kept being hot forever. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, 30% microplastic works out to 9.8 million particles per cubic meter of sand. Okay. And the Mediterranean beaches that were the second highest ever were 5,300 particles per cubic meter. Okay. So we're hypothetically a pretty far way off from that level of contamination. But since sand temperature is tied to the sex of baby turtles and microplastics make sand consistently warmer, the big concern now is that even just a little bit of contamination could skew the male-female ratio in a disastrous way that could get worse potentially way faster.
Right. And it's going the wrong way. So we were already doing a bunch of things to make the sand warmer. And then it was like, now the sand's going to be even warmer.
Yeah, not so good. So between sea turtles and hermit crabs, humans and the microplastics that we make are really doing a number on cute, shell-bound, beach-dwelling guys.
You just brought up hermit crabs because it's your thing.
It's my thing. Well, because I talked recently about how they make hermit crabs stupid. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the ocean is just shooting microplastics out at people who live along beach communities, and they inhale it and have like really high microplastic levels, so stay away from the ocean, everybody.
That's right. Like, look, you shouldn't have built a house there anyway. That's not where, that's not a good idea. That's a danger spot.
That's where the fish live. Let the fish live there.
This is good that we are doing research on this. I did not see it coming. You said in the beginning, you were like, pay attention to the part where it matters, how good sand is holding on to heat. And I was like, I will pay attention. And then I forgot it by the end. And then I was like,
The
microplastics make the sand a better insulator.
Yeah, it's baking the little guys in there.
So what are we going to do, everybody, about plastic? This is one of my things that I do not have a lot of faith in our ability to handle this well.
No, it's so helpful and useful.
Yeah.
We can't, like, imagine people going back to, like, wooden crates and glass and stuff like that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, plastic also saves a ton of stuff, you know? Like, it's really good at preventing food waste, which is very important. It's good at moving vaccines or like it's good at good stuff. But it's also good at stuff that we do not need it to do.
Yeah, at getting really tiny and getting inside of everything forever.
Yeah, there was that like fairly long period of time where we just put microplastics in like every beauty product to make it look cool and silky and shiny.
To help scrub us better.
Oh boy. Now I have to choose between Chinese soft-shelled turtles basically peeing out of their mouths or microplastics potentially messing with sea turtle sex ratios. Two extraordinarily good facts, I will say.
Thanks.
Those are great. Like those are both straight up, like those should be science videos that we should make. But mouth pissing's always gonna win with him.
Ah, shoot. They're not even shooting a stream of piss out of their mouths or anything. That's not
kind of a gargle.
They're just,
they're gargling the piss. I guess that's pretty good. Okay, I take it back.
Don't kiss a turtle.
Yeah. Don't drink pond water. That's another
thing. Don't drink pond water. No, that's
they're peeing in
that's
there?
Really high up.
What?
There. And now it is time for Ask the Science Couch, where we've got a listener question for our couch of finely honed scientific minds.
At Bell5734 on YouTube asks, turtles don't have vocal cords. How do they communicate? How do we find out how they communicate? I feel like this question could apply to many different creatures. Is that
it's
not
true.
The case?
First of all, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm going to make two guesses. One, I bet turtles do make sounds, but like sometimes. And two, pee.
Oh, yes.
That a lot of animals communicate through pee for some reason.
Smells. Some smell.
I'm thinking about pee.
Some kind of smell.
Because of the mouth. Mouth peeing. Sari, am I right on either of those?
So they do make sounds. There is a lot of, I guess, a lack of evidence or a lack of formal scientific evidence. So people writing in papers about turtles making noises. And specifically, there's a difference in scientific literature between like vocalization. So can you make noise? And then using that vocalization for communication purposes. Are you like trying to send a message to something else? And so for a while, I think people were like, turtles don't make noise. Turtles are silent little guys. And then there was a wave of research that people were like paying attention to the noises that turtles made. I think the most dramatic example or the most popular example that you probably didn't know you were hearing turtle noises is apparently in Jurassic Park, the velociraptor noises, the barks.
The clicking?
The, I don't know, it's like barking when they go into the kitchen. Those are turtle sex noises.
I've heard turtle sex noises.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I don't know, barking, squeaking-ish, that kind of noise. And the way that turtles make that noise, I couldn't, the question like started out with turtles don't have vocal cords. Reptiles do make a variety of noises, and they have similar bits in their noise-making process. So like releasing air from the lungs, which goes through the larynx, which is like the voice box, and then passes the glottis, which is like the stopper up there. And some reptiles do have vocal cords or fold-like structures. And I think turtles have some sort of tracheal membrane, which is basically a vocal cord, just like a flap of muscle in there. But we think that turtle sounds are through like throat wiggles called gular pumping, which is a very funny word.
Gross.
Or just like extrusion of air from the lungs, so like hisses. And so that's like, do turtles make noise? Yes. We have now, we have like lots of recordings. We have hundreds of hours of recordings of turtles making noise.
There's whole podcasts. There's like, there's my turtle and me. It's three turtle brothers stuck on a log. It's great.
And they push, one of them pushes them off.
Yeah, the other one's off. And this, that's the same. It's the same thing every episode.
Same thing. And then recently, more recently, I think like 2022, but depending on where you are in the world, like there are groups of researchers who are trying to research, do turtles make sounds to communicate in addition to body language, in addition to other things? I couldn't find specifically pee, but I'm sure all animals communication, it's like chemicals.
It doesn't look like there's a lot of pee involved in turtle communication.
Yes. Makes sense. But like body language for turtles, like touch, physical touch, are you like bumping into someone else? Are you not? But there's also evidence of sound. So one researcher was looking at the Arrau turtle, which is a giant South American river turtle. It's very flat. And there are these like quiet, low-pitched noises that the turtles like chirp at their eggs, and embryos chirp at each other to kind of coordinate that hatching and digging up to the surface. So there's some sort of like vocal possibly like, communication to say
ready?
Like, let's go, guys. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's called like parental care vocalizations. And there could be others. There could be others of like turtles chirping to each other. I don't know if, and like the jury's out for like the sex sounds or whatnot. Are they just making sounds because they're exerting themselves? Or is that like having a communication purpose? Hard to have evidence of that.
Yeah. I know something turtles say.
What do they say?
Cowabunga, dude, pizza time.
The Mutant Ninja Turtles do communicate.
They got vocal cords when they were mutated by the ooze, though.
They got full human vocal cords. How did they get them? Don't ask questions. It's not a pretty story. You don't want to know. If you want to ask your question to the Science Couch, follow us on Twitter at SciShow Tangents, where we'll send out topics for upcoming episodes every week. Or you can join the SciShow Tangents Patreon and ask us on our Discord. Thank you to at Philippe M. Rigon on Twitter, locally sourced bean pie on Discord, and everybody else who asked us your questions for this episode. If you like this show and you want to help us out, it's easy to do that. You can go to patreon.com/SciShowTangents. Shout out to patron Les Aker for their support. Second, you can leave us a review wherever you listen. That's super helpful, and it helps us know what you like about the show. And finally, if you want to show your love for SciShow Tangents, just tell people about us. Thank you for joining us. I've been Hank Green.
I've been Sari Riley.
And I've been Sam Schultz.
SciShow Tangents is created by all of us and produced by Jess Stempert. Our associate producer is Eve Schmidt. Our editor is Seth Glicksman. Our social media organizer is Julia Buzz Pazayo.
Our editorial assistant is Debucky Chakravarti. Our sound design is by Joseph Kunamedish. Our executive producers are Nicole Sweeney and me, Hank Green. And of course, we could not make any of this without our patrons on Patreon. Thank you, and remember, the mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire.
But one more thing. Part of studying sea turtles is, of course, studying their poop. But as Sam said, it can be hard to collect samples before the water washes the poop away, or some other guy eats it, or doesn't turn into a rock. So in October 2015, researchers from the University of Queensland in Australia came up with their own budget solution, turning secondhand shirts into a stylish swimsuit that held a not-as-stylish fecal collector in place over the turtle's tail and cloaca.
Oh, no.
The pictures are very cute and also exactly what you'd expect when you imagine a turtle in a swimsuit and a diaper.
They gave you little underwears to poop into?
Yeah, you collect the poop. Yeah,
it's underwear to poop into. What do you poop, Sam?
Straight into the ocean with the microplastics.
Yeah. Oh, they do look so cute. They're little
babies. That is a cute little swimsuit. Also, I thought this was going to be a full-size turtle, but this is a baby.
There's a big guy at the very bottom.
Oh, there's a big guy at the bottom, and he looks humiliated. And he's wearing the same swimsuit Borat wore in the movie Borat. Let him live. Don't put him in Borat.